I find the disciples' self-centered and cliquish behavior in Mark's gospel oddly comforting. In last week's reading, they were openly arguing about which one of them was better. This week, they're complaining to Jesus that unauthorized do-gooders are performing exorcisms in the community using Jesus' name. They seem to be saying, Jesus, these people, they don't belong to our group. They can't possibly be qualified like we are to use your name. They seem, these disciples, to expect Jesus to be upset like they are and to prevent the strangers from continuing their work. Do something, Jesus. Stop it. I guess I find this comforting because their defensiveness is so human. At some time or other, we all want to protect or grow our territory. And we employ ambition in the service of our insecurities. So these scenes are a mirror reflecting our craving to be superior for the sake of our ego. We are insecure about our worth, and so we instinctively operate in the world trying to prove ourselves and protect our territory. This results in an ever-shrinking circle. Elitism, for lack of a better word, is a poisonous seed that stifles growth both in us as individuals and us collectively as a community of faith. And Jesus calls his disciples to operate differently. Jesus breaks out his scalpel and tells us, you've got to cut it out. And that's reminiscent of my childhood, perhaps yours as well, when on more occasions than I can remember, my siblings and I would aggravate my parents practically to death, and they would say, would you please just cut it out? Jesus says, you must cut out from your life the things that cause you to sin if you're going to enter into enjoyment of life with God. And helpfully, he locates these sins metaphorically in our body, our eyes, our feet, and our hands. For instance, the Bible prohibits coveting. You remember that one? Perhaps the least discussed and most abused of the commandments. We covet when we look at things and think that we have to have them. Pornography is akin to this. An enormous stumbling block, or perhaps better translated, ensnarement, that is propagated through the eye. This sin of pornography is something that we hardly ever speak of, and yet the damage done by it is enormous. Cut it out, Jesus says. Instead, use your eyes to see what's truly beautiful and to see the poor and look for the lost and the lonely. Are we walking the same old paths and finding that our world is getting smaller and smaller? Well, cut a new path to places that nourish life. Are we using our hands only to gain more and more for ourselves? If so, we've got to cut it out and use our hands to help others, to shake the hands of strangers, and to welcome the newcomer. Our eyes, feet, and hands are wonderful markers for whether we're on the right path. And we know what it's like to cut things out of our lives in order to make room for something new and better. We know how to do this because we practice it in miniature every Lent. But the activity needs to be continuous, not something we take up once a year in a liturgical season. I want us all to have the courage and commitment to make the changes that we need to make. Change can often be difficult, awkward, and uncomfortable. Perhaps that's even a hallmark or definition for change. It might be helpful to think of these as growing pains. But the reward of them is always worth it. When we cut out things from our lives that are obstacles to enjoyment of life with Jesus, we find there is more room for what we're called to be and do. We can make use of that space, as our lessons suggest today, by working with others who may understand Jesus differently than we do. They are bound to understand Jesus differently than we do. We don't have to go into a Methodist church or a Baptist church or to a Roman Catholic church to understand that we can understand Jesus differently. In this very room, we understand different things about Jesus. St. John's has a strong tradition of working ecumenically. It's certainly building that tradition since I've been here. Next weekend, MC Jenkins is going with her Kairos Prison Ministry group to Hernando Women's Prison. Women from all kinds of churches will be going. And these churches disagree about a lot of things, but they all agree on the one most important thing, and that is that the name of Jesus has power to heal broken minds and hearts, to transform lives of misery into joy. And there's a wonderful group of six men from St. John's going to the men's prison in Sumter in November. I'm proud of all these ministers who have carved out space in their lives, in their hearts, really, to serve the Lord in this way. They're a good example to us. Jesus' mission is always about gathering more people into his fold. If they're not against us, they're for us, he says. So Jesus has a bias for inclusion. Jesus is calling us to be this way to everyone we meet, even those from different faith traditions or no faith tradition at all. We are more and more likely, you are probably already know this, to encounter people with no religious belief at all than we are to find people who have a faith, a religious type of faith. Now, do you think Jesus' instruction extends to them too? I think in most cases, yes. I think that's how we'll introduce them to Jesus. And even if they don't become Christians, at least they'll have a Christian friend. Those who aren't against us are for us, says Jesus. The question that I keep asking myself is, why on earth would a person cut out from their lives the things they've become used to, so comfortable with, in order to serve Jesus this way? Why do some serve so joyfully and others don't seem to have the desire and can't make the time? In the end, it's a mystery, and it doesn't have a simple answer. But I think it has something to do with the mystery of salvation. I know people who go into prisons out of sheer gratitude for the salvation that they've been given. I know people who can't help but give generously out of sheer joy for all they've been given. Others can't help but to speak words of forgiveness because the weight of their own sin has been so graciously lifted, and they spread their love to everyone they meet. And there are the ones who see the glory of Christ in every single person, because once upon a time someone saw Christ in them. These stories, these reasons, these motivations are spiritual and mysterious, individual and beautiful. Ultimately, we come into the service of God because of what Jesus has done for us by his life, death, and resurrection. This fact of our salvation, this palpable understanding of his amazing grace, is the one indispensable common denominator that makes us want and need to serve him over the long haul. And that's our salt. That's the stuff that preserves us, propels us, makes it all taste better. So have salt in your lives, brothers and sisters, and be at peace with one another. And Fred, welcome back. Don't worry. It's the kind of salt that you don't ever have to cut out.
Amen.